Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening. No, I haven't seen the new Bohemian Rhapsody movie yet, but that song has been playing a lot and it's been buzzing through my head. And I think it's perfect for today's gospel lesson, don't you? Thunder and lightning, isn't that the description of prayer that you get in our gospel lesson? Okay, you're giving me that look, so I best explain myself here, where I'm coming from, before you think I've really gone off the deep end when I was at the ministerium this week. Thunder is an easy part once I explain it to you. The lightning I'll have to talk to you about. See, James and John were the sons of Zebedee. That was their dad. And that literally means thunder. They were the sons of thunder. Now, this is one family that if you got invited to Thanksgiving for, you better go prepared. Because it was going to be a rock and roll show, let me tell you. Zebedee apparently was a very successful. He had a fleet of ships. But anybody whose nickname is Thunder, it's going to be problems, as you might guess when you get them in a group. And he also wasn't too happy about this ministry thing. If you recall the story, he's the one that gets left out in the boat when James and John go running after Jesus. He's left there with all the stuff. So I imagine he had a few things to say about stuff. His wife, Salome, is known as one of the women who followed Jesus to the cross. You know the story. The men all ran and the women hung around to be with Jesus to his dying days. And their mother was one of them. And James and John, they weren't, you know, shy people either. In one of the gospel accounts, they try to call thunder, lightning, and fire out of sky to burn a village that wasn't cooperating with them, didn't accept them in. So you can imagine what the conversations around the Zebedee family were like, you know. These were not shy, retiring people. They had opinions, and they expressed them. And God liked that. Jesus seems to really like them. And in fact, if you look at that whole motley crew that makes up the disciples, the thing he seems to like about them is when they're honest with him, when they tell him what they really think about things. And James and John were not hesitant about telling Jesus what they wanted and how they wanted it. You know? They were not shy and retiring kind of guys. The whole family was not that way. And yet they are lifted up by Jesus. Jesus, even today, when they have this great request, which in another one of the gospel accounts, their mother does for them, it makes it even more interesting that mom's trying to get them the positions of the right and left hand. That's like being the number one and number two person, you know. They wanted to be there when Jesus came into his glory. They wanted to be there when Jesus trampled those Romans underfoot, restored the people, did all the stuff, was the valiant leader and conqueror. And they asked for it. Now, even they had to be a little bit shy. You know, they didn't start out with that request, if you notice, about the right and left hand. It's like, teacher, will you do for us whatever you ask? And those of you teachers know sometimes when students ask you the first question, you got to get to the second one to find out what's really going on. Even they were a little hesitant, but they were bold about it. And Jesus doesn't condemn them for it. He says, do you really know what you're asking for? Now, that's thunder. That's noisy, that's loud, and it's direct. And it is an aspect of prayer life. I am going to talk about prayer today, believe it or not, along the way. I think what God wants us to be in our prayers is like James and John, not be afraid to voice what we really think. Even if it's not right. And we kind of laugh at James and John, and the other disciples got kind of ticked off about the fact that they wanted those things. But at least they were willing to be bold about it. They were willing to be bold about their request. They understood that when you ask God for something, it's like thunder. It's going to be noisy. It's not going to be quiet. And I think that's one of the problems sometimes we religious people, and I include myself in that risk, have about faith life. We act like our prayers are meek and mild and nice, you know. Prayer is a dialogue with God. And it's going to have some excitement to it. It's going to have some volume to it. It's going to be noisy, like thunder. So sometimes I think part of our problem with our prayer life is that we have tried to squelch it down to where it's not offensive anymore. Prayer can be a bit offensive. It's dangerous to pray, is what the Bible tells us, because God's really listening. So if you ask for peace on earth, God's probably going to ask you how you're going to get that to come about. And if you pray for someone to be well, God's going to ask what are you going to do about it to help them get that way. Prayer is a loud, noisy thing. And James and John are finding that out. And God praises them for it. doesn't agree with where they're going. You know, he's about to tell them that this discipleship thing isn't about the glory and the conquest. It's about service and sacrifice. And they will find their way. The gospel accounts get James and John there. The history of the church has them going out to places unknown, not to call fire out of heaven anymore, but to talk about peace and grace and love of God for all people. Read John's letters. We don't know if it's the exact same John, but tradition has it that that person at least carried the words of John with them. Love one another, little children. The thunder guy becomes the guy of peace and hope because prayer also transforms us. That's the frightening part of it that makes that song work. It's the fact that we may start out with a request for A, and God somehow doesn't give us A, he gives us B. James and John were that way. They wanted the seats of glory. They wanted to be there in the front row when everything went right. And instead, they found themselves on the front row when things went wrong, and yet God still worked through them. That's what prayer life is like, too. It's the lightning. Think about it this way. Thunder is noisy, right? It's what attracts our attention most of the time when a storm approaches. But if you got any sense, you know it's the lightning that's the dangerous part, you know. When that energy from the sky, if it happens to make contact with you, is going to do some things to you. Well, prayer is like that. When we open ourselves up to God's power, we're going to get zapped. Because we're probably not going to get what we ask for, but we're going to get empowered to do that which God sees that we need, which is probably greater than our original request, but it's not going to be what we want. It's going to be what we need and what God says we need, and that's going to require us to be changed. To get zapped with a lightning bolt, if you will. To be different. But to be empowered. When we truly pray, we open ourselves up to God's will. We give the thunderous sounds of our request. And then we wait for the lightning to arrive and change our lives. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is one of my favorite theologians to quote. First time he ever came to attention, he was in a class with the famous theologian Paul Tillich. And they were talking about prayer. And he quoted Luther's say, which we now know, but would have been forgotten by Bonhoeffer's time, which was that God hears the true angry cries of the unfaithful louder than he hears the babble of people who won't express their needs and concerns. God calls us to be honest in prayer, both in delivering it in the thunder and in the lightning part of it, being willing to be transformed, energized, sent out into the world. This is what happens to James and John. Their request is granted in a way. They're there for the kingdom. It just wasn't at all what they expected it to be. Neither is our prayer. Our prayer life is both being honest with God and being vocal and loud and noisy. There are a lot of loud, noisy people in the Bible, by the way. But it's also being willing to be zapped, to be transformed, to be empowered, to be energized to work. God wants to. Because God's answer to prayer probably is going to involve us going places we don't want to go, meeting with people we don't particularly like, and doing things that weren't number one on our choice. And it is only when we look back that we can recognize how God was taking us from point A to point B, and how he was transitioning and changing us to be able to do things we never thought we could do. Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening, yes. Prayer life is dangerous. But it's also empowering. So we need some thunder. We need prayer spoken in the honesty of our hearts, whether it be frightful prayers, angry prayers, joyful prayers. But we also need to be ready to get the lightning zap us and transition us. Thunderbolts and lightning. Very, very frightening. But God's power will course through us in an honest prayer life.
Amen.